about you, but I'm very thankful that I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad.
Amen. Thank you. November 16th, 1974, as a result of Cook's Chapel Baptist Church, the preacher John S. Atkinson opened up the Bible, explained to me how to be saved. I got saved nearby the next day, and I went there for a few years, and every week the choir would march into that song and march out to that song. And I finally figured out I was glad I was a part of the family of God after a while. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, we'll get you a schedule. Good Lord willing, there'll be another Bible Reader's Banquet on another cold night in January. That's the plan. That's plan A.
Work last time.
Yeah, amen. How about praying for us, preacher? Yeah, amen. Thank you. We've been in Genesis for a while now, and we saw in chapters 1 and 2 the creation of all things. Actually, God created everything in chapters 1 and 2. And then in 3, 4, and 5, we saw that man corrupted everything. Now we're in chapter 6. And we're going to see, because man corrupted everything, God had to condemn everything. And we met Brother Noah in chapter 5 last week. Let's back up there to 5:28. A little bit of review here and see Noah again. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which God hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, let's look at a couple of things here about Noah in Matthew 24. A little preview. Verses 37 and I'm 37 to 39. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That was a picture so that we would get ready today. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not. It's a generation just like us, Laodiceans, we know not. Remember, there's a lot of things we don't know. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You see it again in Luke 17. We can send a man to the moon, but we don't know how to get to heaven. Luke 17, 26 and 27. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. As and so. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. That's a picture of what's going to happen today or in the near future. Now, Genesis 6, 1 and 2. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now this phrase, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. This, we're going to hit this again in a minute, and we'll talk about it more. But I just want you to see right now that there's no angels in those verses. Those are not angels. It doesn't... I don't know why, but a lot of people try to say that's angels. Yeah. But we haven't seen any angels yet. I tell you what's going to be, I'll give you a heads up. It's going to be the godly seed and the ungodly seed. It's going to be Seth's line and Cain's line. We already saw them get started off. But there's nothing about angels here. Let's go ahead and look a little bit about Cain's line in Ezra. Ezra chapter 9. Verse 1 says, "Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. Let me just go ahead and say, the Lord does not want saved people to marry unsaved people. The Lord does not want saved people to marry unsaved people. That's the picture here. Then verse 12. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat of the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. Verse 14, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? And wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? The Lord is not interested. He does not want saved people to marry unsaved people. Now back to chapter 6, Genesis 6. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Noah was 480 when he started the work. When the work began, it took 120 years to build the ark, and he was 600 years old when he finished it. Let's look at that in 1 Peter 3. In 18, 1 Peter 3, 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. For which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is going into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now, we've been through this many times. I don't even know if I know you can't see this, but there's a picture right there. It's my driver's license. Anybody want to guess who that is?
If it's yours, it'll be you.
Well, then who's this? If that's me, who's this? Oh, okay. Well, the ark was a figure and a picture of salvation. The ark... everyone in the water drowned. It's, Jesus is the Savior. He's the ark. Everybody in Him is saved. Everybody in Him. The ark is just a picture. It's just a picture. Okay, let's go. 2 Corinthians 6. Now on your paper it says 1 Corinthians. I always make mistakes on these handouts. But I found more on this handout than anywhere else. That should be 2 Corinthians 6. Again, the Lord does not want saved people marrying unsaved people. Right here it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now let's go back to chapter 6, Genesis 6, and verse 4. And it says, and there were giants in the earth in those days, semicolon. That's the strongest there is next to a period. It's a pause. You can actually have two sentences in a sentence with one of these semicolons between them. Two complete thoughts. And I just want you to see that there were giants in the earth in those days. Question mark. Is that pretty? I'm having trouble understanding my Bible. There were giants in the earth in those days. Okay, look at, and. Oh, something else is going on. Also, oh, something else. There were giants, and also there's something else going on. After that, oh, there's giants in the earth, and also after that, there's something else going on. When the sons of God came in unto the children, the daughters of men, they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. There's still no angels. I don't know why people say these are angels. It never says these are angels. Matter of fact, let me show you what it does say. And after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. Men. And they bare children unto them, and the same became mighty men. Not angels, men. And by the way, Abraham was a mighty man. Jacob was a mighty man. Adam was a mighty man. It doesn't mean all of them were giants. Teddy's a mighty man. The preacher's a mighty man. Everybody's a mighty man is not a giant. Which were of old men. Of renown, not angels of renown. It doesn't say that. They're not monsters. It doesn't say monsters. It doesn't say angels. Verse 5. Here's the reason. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Amen. Chapters 1 and 2, God created all things. 3, 4, and 5, man corrupted all things. And now because of that, God has to condemn all things. And He tells us why right here. Then verses 6 and 7. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. He was sorry He made man. Sometimes we use sorry in place of repented. It's not exactly the same. But we'll say it is sometimes. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God was sorry that He made man. Let's look at Psalm 94. We don't want to be the same way. No, we don't want the Lord to be sorry He made us. Wouldn't that be sad? Psalm 94, verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Now, a vanity, you might have one in your bedroom or something. You keep your socks in, and then up on top might be a mirror. And vanity is me standing in front of that mirror combing my hair. The strict definition of vanity is nothing. It's nothing. That would be nothing if I was doing it. Proverbs 15, 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. I'm just saying, this is still going. Matthew 9. A little bit of New Testament here. Matthew 9. verse 3 and 4. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Well, I don't want the Lord to be sorry he made me. I don't want to do that. So let's see what we're going to do. What we're going to do. How about Romans 12:3? Now I'm talking about saved people. This is what saved people will do. If you're not saved, you need to repent of sin and self, believe the Scriptures, receive the Savior, and be born again. And then the Lord won't be sorry he made you. But us saved people, we got problems too. And a lot of them. And a lot of them. Romans 12:3, here's something I could do. Maybe the Lord wouldn't be sorry he made me. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Boy, that's going to help me out right there. Right there. But to think soberly that I'm wicked and I deserve to go to hell according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He saved me. I didn't clean up. I didn't get closer. I came just as I am. Philippians. Philippians. I need to remember that. I need to remember it. Philippians 4:8. Here's some things. How about if Brother Rick would do this? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. I need to think about true things. Things that are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Well, if I think about that, maybe the Lord wouldn't be sorry he made me. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue. If there be any praise, Brother Rick, think on these things. It's going to help me out a lot. 2 Corinthians 10:5. This was a memory verse here for a while in Sunday school. And it helped Brother Rick that the Lord wouldn't be sorry he made him. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations. Imaginations are a big problem. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then he wouldn't be sorry he made me. Maybe, just maybe. Joshua 1. I don't want the Lord to have to go through that again. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. That's for Israel in particular, for us in general, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. I'm talking to saved people, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success, and the Lord won't be sorry he made you. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, and the Lord won't be sorry he made him. Psalm 37. Starting in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Do good. so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he won't be sorry he made you. 101. We're talking to saved people. Now, unsaved people, they need to repent of sin and self, believe the Scriptures, receive the Savior, and be born again on the rock, and be an eagle for the Lord. Psalm 101, I will sing of the mercy and judgment. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me, and the Lord won't be sorry he made me. 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I better work for an old man too. I hope it does. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word, and the Lord won't be sorry he made me. 143. We don't want to go through another flood. 143:5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thine hands. It's going to help me out. How about Proverbs 4:25? Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. A straight path. So straight, so narrow, no place to turn around. And 16:3, Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established, and he won't be sorry he made you. Won't be sorry he made me. I believe that's what I need to do. Hebrews 11. Back to Noah now. Hebrews 11. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The basis of Noah's faith was the Word of God. He was warned. He was warned. The Word of God is where Noah put his faith. And it was big faith. Let's hold your finger there. We're coming back. In Genesis 2, it had never rained. That 120 years he's working on that ark, he was the laughing stock of the whole community. It had never rained before. But Noah believed God. Genesis 2, 5 and 6, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground, and there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. You okay if I'd say you's the laughing stock of your community? Yeah. See, you say there's a black book that God wrote.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this or not, but there's people going like this when they talk about you.
Yes.
The basis of Noah's faith was the Word of God. The sphere of his faith was of things not seen as yet. You haven't seen Jesus, but you came this morning to worship Him. Faith. Faith. Things not seen. The character of Noah's faith was he moved with fear. You know, we have lapses of faith and are afraid sometimes. Sometimes I believe my doubts and doubt my beliefs. Noah was human. He's the same way. The evidence of Noah's faith, he prepared an ark. He went ahead and did it. He made it. Hey, you're here this morning. You must believe something. You're here this morning. The reward of his faith, guess what? It was the saving of his house.
Yes, sir. Amen.
They all got in. All eight of them. And then also, he's the heir of righteousness. Let's go back to chapter 6.
That's good right there. Very good.
Chapter 6, verse 8. Starting in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's the first time it happened in the Bible. First time you find the word grace. Undeserving favoritism from God. Grace is God giving me breakfast this morning when I didn't deserve it. Grace is gas in the tank. Grace is heaven. I get to go to heaven. Mercy is I don't have to go to hell.
Right.
Grace. Grace. These are the generations of Noah. He was a just man.
Yeah.
After that grace come along, he got justified.
Yeah.
Just as though he'd never sinned. And perfect. In his generations. And Noah walked with God like Enoch did last week.
Yeah.
And then he begat. Got those sons and then later on grandson. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Grace to trust and obey. The Old Testament's a record of God dealing with Israel and others in grace. The New Testament is a record of God dealing with the church in grace. Noah stood alone, one man against a wicked world. 11 and 12. Why a flood? Well, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. They all went their own way. They all went their own way. They were not looking for the Messiah. We were told in chapter 3 to look for the Messiah, but we were not looking for the Messiah. We weren't. And then 13 is the destruction. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That's what he's going to do. It's the condemnation. The condemnation.
Yeah.
Verse 14 is the construction. What Noah will do. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without. The pitch is like tar. I understand the man that discovered all those oil wells over there in Arabia was reading his Bible and reading about this pitch. And he went over there and just, that's why they got all those oil wells over there in Iraq and Iran. Pitch and atonement, they say, are the same word. They both mean to cover. The ark was covered with pitch to keep the water on the outside. We get covered with blood. The blood of Jesus keeps the judgment on the outside. Atonement, the simple definition is at-one-ment. At one with God again. We can get redeemed back and be put into the family of God. Atonement, at-one-ment. It's important to follow the directions. And that's what Noah did. The ark... I always think of a barge. Almost everyone's seen a barge going to Charleston on the Kanawha River there. It did have a roof on it. It probably also looked like a coffin or a shoebox or a chest. It was God's plan. It was God's plan. Again, it had a roof on it. Noah received the divine revelation. It was revealed to him what to do. And really, man didn't have much to do with it. God said, this is what I want you to do, Noah.
Right.
Told him what kind of wood, told him the dimensions. There's three arcs in the Bible. Noah's ark was man-made. Moses' ark was woman-made. And then the ark of the covenant, God-made. They're all symbols of judgment, death, or maybe safety. If you're in the ark, you can rest. He made rooms here in this ark. There was rooms for rest. You can rest in Christ. You can quit those at work stuff. You can rest in Him. There's no need trying to measure up. We never will. I just trust Him. It's what I do. Verse 15. How big is the ark anyway? And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it up of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. A cubit's a foot and a half. So that's 450 foot. Long. Football field and a half. The breadth is 50 cubits. That's 75 foot. And the height, 30 cubits. It's the largest ship that ever was built until 1884. The Queen Mary was built in 1884. It was bigger. But even today, ships are built on this proportion. Somebody figured out it was the best. It was the best. The floor was 98,000 square feet. That'd be 20 basketball courts on one floor, but there was three floors. That would be 60 basketball courts. There was room for everybody, for all animals. That's 105 semis on one floor, or 315 semi loads on all three floors. The average size of the animal was like the size of a sheep. The Lord knew enough not to call a full-grown elephant in. He got a yearling, something like that. And then after the flood, then they could reproduce. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. You can get in today if you want to. If you want to. Everybody that wanted to got in. Verse 16. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. The window was all the way around for ventilation, like you would need for a gym or a barn. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. One Lord, one Savior, one ark, one window. One door. The door had no dimensions for whosoever will. Could get in. Just like over at Walmart, you go over there and it'll open up for anybody. It'll open up for me or you, no matter what side. Whosoever will. It's in the side where Adam's bride came from, and God had the key. God had the key. 17. And behold, I, the Lord talking, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female. Federal approved. Male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten. Somebody say amen right there. And thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. That was God's plan for preservation and propagation, to keep the animals alive and Noah and Mrs. Noah and the little Noahs alive. Don't miss the boat. Amen. I'd get in. Amen. You can get in today. You can commit today. No one entered the ark by being born inside to Christian parents. I had the best parents in the world, the best grandparents in the world, but I was a sinner. I needed to get saved on my own. I was so dumb, I waited till I was 21. No one is born that's born to Christian parents is a Christian. No one is born inside the ark to Christian parents. Each believed that the ark would and could save them, and they acted on faith. Then 22 is obedience results in blessing. Brother Noah, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Dear Heavenly Father, help me to do the same thing. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.